Let the church say amen. God has been good once again to us. You can't beat God when it comes to being good, because He is so everlastingly good to all of us. And if you think that He hasn't been good to you, think of the alternative. Think of where you could have been today instead of where you are today. So let us be ever thankful to God. This morning, Brother Paul read for your hearing from the 5th chapter of Ephesians and also a part of the 6th chapter. We shall be revisiting those texts in a few moments. Paul, I'll try to get you out of here on time. Paul's team is not playing today, but all you Bear fans, we're going to try to get you out on time. This morning, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, You have privileged us and blessed us this morning. You have blessed us because You got us up this morning and You didn't have to. You have blessed us because You have given us a place to come out and worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You this morning that You have given us food for our stomachs, clothes for our body, and words to put in our lips that we may thank Thee for all of those things. We come this morning praying and asking You, O Heavenly Father, to be with the local congregation here, the Church of Christ here at Stony Island Church of Christ. We pray for leadership as well as the membership. We are missing a few this morning, Father, but we thank You just the same. And we're praying for those that we know that are sick, Sister Porter and anyone else that we know that might be sick. But Father, we just pray and ask You to be with those who are not as strong as they would like to be, and not feeling their best, but continue to bless them anyway, Father, if that be Your will. Father, we ask You to bless this service as it moves into its next phase. We ask You to have mercy upon all of us in the congregation this morning, Father, and continue to give us Your blessings. Father, we pray this morning for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for those who are without. We pray for those who are in need. We pray and ask You, O Heavenly Father, to be kind enough to bless those who are raising their children today. Give them a reason and an understanding to know how to raise their children. And Father, we just want You to know this morning that we are continually loving You, O Lord, and that our hearts may be blessed from Your goodness, O Lord. Thank You this morning, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in leadership positions, not only here in the church, but those who are in leadership positions around the world, O Heavenly Father, that they may not make any rules or regulations that would hinder us, especially from serving Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank You this morning, Father, for those who are standing guard, guarding us from all kind of threats, O Lord. Please continue to bless them. Give them the strength and the wisdom they need to recognize the threats and to do what they do best, O Lord, whatever that is, to keep us all safe. Father, we pray and ask You this morning to be with the husbands and the wives. We continue to pray, O Heavenly Father, that the strength may be given unto them, that they may pass it along, Father, as we shall see in a little bit. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all that You have done for us and all that You will continue to do. But most of all, we thank You that a little over 2,000 years ago, Father, that You sent Your Son to this world. He hung, He bled, and He died on yonder's cross, that we may have this opportunity this morning. Thank You, O Lord. It is in Your Son Jesus' name that we continue to ask all of these blessings. Let us all say amen. Today there is a growing trend in society to change or alter God's definition of husband and wife. Yet when you look back in the history of the word, in the history of God and His word, the word wife has either been referred to, always been referred to as a female. It was the mind of God that decided that man needed a helpmeet. And so God did the first human transplant, took a rib from the man and made woman. Further down in verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 2, we find that God brought that woman to that man. And then she became his wife. So this morning, just for a few minutes, if you will, we want to talk about God, a family affair. God is a family affair for all of us. When you go to the text of Ephesians chapter 5, and you start around verse number 22 there, the Bible says, and ladies, before you say anything, I don't know why you were called out first in this, but it says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, men, don't get too happy because you're going to come up too. But wives, the text says, submit yourselves to your husbands. Now, I can't define to you and tell you why God chose it the way He chose it, but all I know is that if we are going to obey God, we must go the way He has willed it for us to go. But that's not in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22. That's not the only place where these words are presented. They're also presented in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. And many times I have heard women to say they didn't feel they should be submissive to their husbands. I have even had some ladies who have asked me when I was doing wedding ceremonies if I could take the words obey out of the ceremony. They didn't feel that it was a good thing that they should have to have that laid upon them. But then when you think about it, that's what the Bible tells women to do, submitting yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Wives, submit yourself. It specifically states that wives are to be subject or submit to their own husbands. Now that eliminates anything of whether you need to obey somebody else's husband or not. And the word subject or subjection is a military term, meaning to rank under. If a person were in the army, for instance, and they were a sergeant, they would be subject to a higher officer, such as a lieutenant. So in the text, the wife must be submissive to their own husband, which means a wife doesn't have to listen to another husband, but she has to listen to her own husband. Now, what does submission include? Well, submission includes to love and to honor your husband. And I want you to notice the last part of verse number 22. It says, as unto the Lord. Wives, you should be doing the will of God, not because your husband told you to, but because God and God's Word tells us to, and God said to do it. And that's all we should be concerned about, that God said do it. Now, the Bible also tells us in Genesis chapter 2, in chapter 3, and around about verse number 16, I believe it is, the Word tells us that the woman's desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So here in Ephesians, it wasn't the first place where we can talk about that. And when you think about it, and just to seal the counsels of the wife, in Titus chapter 2, around verse number 3 and 4, the Bible tells the aged women, oh yeah, there's something for the aged women to do too. It tells them the type of qualities they should have in order that they may teach young women to love their husbands and their children. And then in verse number 5 brings the word obedient into the mix. Obedient to their own husband. That's from the word of God, so that you will not be blasphemed. How can we argue with the word of God, church? I don't think we can. All of us don't like the word of God all the time. I know that to be a fact. But we can't argue with it, because the word of God is what guides and rules our lives if you are a Christian. So when you think about it, wives have a big responsibility. And some wives say, well, it's hard to love my husband. Well, that's something the two of you need to sit down and work it out. You need to sit down and figure out, why is it so hard that you can't love and honor and obey and be submissive to your own husband? The Bible tells us to do such. Look at verse number 23, if you will. Now, this part is for where the husbands come in. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Now, brothers, just when you thought it was safe to rear your head up, now comes the instructions or the counsel of God for us as husbands. And I may as well tell you, if you're not married, then obviously this doesn't apply to you. If you are married or you're thinking about getting married, you need to consider what your responsibilities and duties are. There are some counsels that we must learn to understand. Look at verse number 25, if you will. In verse number 25, the Bible says, "Husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Husbands, the Bible has already told us in Proverbs chapter 18, and around about verse number 22, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord." Now, I know what some husband might say, "Well, my wife doesn't fit that description." Well, then you need to sit down with her just like she needed to sit down with you and talk about this thing. Now, I may as well tell you that the Bible does not specify that she must be rich as Blue Valley butter, whether she has to have a skin as radiant as the sunshine, nor does the Word describe her as having the looks of a beauty queen. You found her, you courted her, and you married her, so the Bible says you must love her. That's the bottom line. So when I think about this and I look at all of the marriages that end up in front of the divorce judge, you ask yourself the question, somebody wasn't doing what the Bible said for them to do. Somebody wasn't following God's Word. And certainly, husbands, after she's had those three kids she's had, and 20 years later down the road, you start looking, some husbands sometimes start to look for greener pastures, they say. Notice the comparison there in verse number 25. Once again, it said, "Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for us and put his life on the cross for us, for the starting of the church." What if, because the church, and that's us, what if the church doesn't always act right? What if Christ walked away and all of us know that we are not always right in the church? But yet God has not abandoned the church. But some men want to abandon their wives. Yes, she's gotten a little bit larger. And like I always tell you, you're not the same either. You can't move like you used to move either. You don't look like you. You know, we have a problem when our youth and our youngness starts to fade away from us. We sit back and look at old pictures and say to ourselves, "Look what I looked like back then." But you don't look like that no more, most of us. And like I always like to say to you, when you walk a little bit slower. And most of us can't run anymore. If we run, we can probably run from here to the back door and that's it before you fall out. But I tell you, you still must love your wives. And that grass that looked greener on the other side, well, when you first got your wife, it probably looked just as green then as it does now. But you just have failed to see the growing of the grass. So when you think about it, the church is the bride of Christ. And Lord knows the church has gotten ugly since its first century roots. And I'll tell you now, this message today is not about marriage and divorce, but it's about staying together and doing the duties that you need to do as a husband and a wife. Look at verse number 28, if you will. "So ought the men love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." And I understand that so many of us find it easy to hate ourselves, so therefore we must not love our wives. There are men who can't stand their own selves, so how can they love their wives? Husbands, you have a great role to live up to. You must learn to do God's will, and that verse is pretty plain. If I love me, then I ought to love my wife. But when I don't love me, I find it difficult to love my wife. The Bible has already, way back in Genesis, stated that God didn't think it was good for a man to be alone. So he made him a helpmeet.
Who was that helpmeet? Well, that helpmeet was a woman. She was a woman, and God brought her to the man, and she eventually became known as his wife. And I may as well say this, and I'll just say it once, and that'll be it. Marriage is a union of a woman and a man. Enough said. We can't take it any further. Don't let anybody tell you any difference. When a man hates himself, he's a dangerous person, and he's in a dangerous position to be around. He jeopardized all those who are around him. When you think about it, church, let's just say, for instance, if you were like many of us in my age range, you probably got married at an earlier age than the people do today. And it's a growing process. When I first got married, and I'll use the preacher because I know the preacher, I always tell you. I know him quite well. But when I look back on my own personal life, I realized that I wasn't always what I should have been to my wife. But I tell you something, I had to learn. And I learned to do better. And when you learn to do better, you ought to do better. I mean, when you learn better, you ought to do better. But God has already provided all the information we need. All we got to do is go to God's directions on life. And that's the Bible. When you look at God's direction on life, look at what he said. And again, in verse number 25, husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then in verse 26, he said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Church, that's the way God set up his church, and the church was the bride of Christ. So when you look at it, the husband have a responsibility and the wives have a responsibility. But what if somewhere along the line you have some children? Well, God has some counsel for children too, from the word of God to children. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting around verse number 1. Children have ties to God's word also. Look at what the Bible says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. But then when you go back to Colossians chapter 3, around verse number 20, it makes it even plainer. It tells the children to obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So children, you've got a responsibility, and I know what our children are like today. I've had children before. Our children don't like for us to tell them anything today. They already know everything about everything. Ask somebody who can tell you. Ask anybody in law enforcement, and they'll tell you how our children are. They don't like the authority figure anymore. They don't like to be told that this is right and that's wrong, or that you're right and you're wrong. They like to always be right, and that's where parents come in. We cannot allow our children to always try to rule us. We've got to rule our children, because the Bible has already told them that they are to obey their parents, for this is right. But too many times, the parents are afraid of their children. What would it look like for a parent in my day to be afraid of my parents? A child in my day to be afraid of their parents. Now, granted, parents probably were a little bit more stricter in my day than they are in this day, because parents like to do what they call timeouts. Well, I didn't get timeouts. Need I tell you what I got? Parents like to tell their children today they'll put them on punishment, and you can't go outside, but they leave them with the computer so they can go all around the world from the comforts of their own bedrooms. And guess what they find when they go on the internet? Oh yeah, the internet is all right now, don't get me wrong, but there's some dangerous stuff out there. There's some dangerous stuff, and parents, When you are guarding your kids and guarding your kids in the right manner, you got to teach them what thus saith the Lord. Watch this. In verse number 2 of Ephesians chapter 6, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And why, children, do you need to do that? That it may be well with thee and thou may live long on the earth. Oh, there's some longevity involved with obeying your parents. There's some things that our children don't understand today. And we as parents, although I must admit most children know a lot more than parents knew at that same age when they were coming up, of course. But that's still not giving them the proper love and the proper respect that God has told you to give them. It tells the father, he said, it tells the father that it, and ye fathers in verse number 4, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? That means that you've got to teach them the right way. Bring them up in a loving and a compassionate manner, that they may come to know the Lord. Provide for them that they be neither physically hungry nor spiritually hungry. The power given to us as parents are given to us through the Lord, and is not for us to abuse them, but rather for us to cherish them, to teach them that they may understand that one word of God is greater than all the words of man on this world. Teach them that troubles will come that way, and that once these troubles come that way, all they got to do is look to the hills where cometh their help. Teach them that a father is a blessing from God. Teach them that our days are numbered on this earth, and that above all, we have an appointment with our Lord, who is the righteous judge. Oh, we got to teach them, church. We got to teach them. We got to teach them that money cannot and will not buy us our way into heaven. We've got to teach them that no matter what you have in this life, it won't get you to heaven. We've got to teach them that God always was and always is, always was, and always will be in charge. Teach them to love one another as Christ loved and died for us. And let me tell you something, church. If you teach your children to be loving children, they'll grow up being loving adults. And then when they get in church later on in life, they will know how to act. But then, look at the text. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, I got to tell you something about that. Loving God and bringing up your children in the love of God can make for much better adults. I wonder sometimes if my father had slacked up on the way he raised us as children. I wonder just where we would be right now. But I also am glad to know that my father brought me up the way that he did. I thank God for both of my parents, but I specifically said the father, because that's what the Bible is telling us right now, that fathers are not to provoke their children. Don't make your children angry just because you're their father. Don't say crazy stuff just because you are their father. Don't act around them like I'm the father and I got all this authority and I'm going to abuse you because I got the authority to abuse you with. God is a family matter. God will take care of families if families learn to love God and do His will, just like the Bible tells us. So when you go back and you look all over again and you consider the Word of God, look at again at verse number 22 of Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about the wives. And then again in verse number 23, where it talks about the husband. And then again in verse number 25, where it gives instructions to the husband. And then again in chapter 6 in verse number 1, where it gives instructions to the children. And it gives us the information that we need. You know, I like the Bible because all the pieces fit neatly together. God has not left us hanging out in left field. He's not left. He has not left us where we don't know how to put the pieces together. And some of us, we can see how the pieces are supposed to fit, but we won't allow them to fit because we feel that our pieces will fit better if I do it my way. And as I close here this morning, as I come to an ending this morning, I want you to know something this morning. That my father may have been wrong, but God is right. Your mother may have been wrong, but God is right. Your wife may have been wrong, but God is right. Your husband may have been wrong, but God is right, isn't he, church? God is all right. And when he sent down his son on this horrible earth, sent him down here, gave him up, that we might hear the word of the Lord and that we might learn to do the will of the Lord, because he died for us. And still, yet and still, we've got some husbands that won't act right. We've got some wives that won't act right. And we certainly have some children that won't do right. But you know something? In the end, God is going to fix it all. God is going to fix it all in the end. But I thank God today that he opened the doors of the church this morning. He allowed somebody to stick the key in and open the doors. And the doors of the church are now and have been and will always be open, that we may attend and learn to worship God in spirit and in truth. But when I look at this matter just a little closer, and I see that God, how great he is, and I think back to the cross, and I think about how great the burden and the stress must have been on the Lord himself to hang on the cross, to bleed, to die, and to get up again. I think that why isn't it good enough for us that we don't obey his word? Why can't we as wives and we as husbands and we as children do what the Lord asks of us? Wives, submit to your husband, to your own husband. Husband, love your wives. And children, obey your parents. For that's the thing to do, that you may live long on this earth. And if you are not a member of the Lord's church this morning, you can come to the Lord by come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you are a member and you've walked astray, you can come forward this morning. Ask the Lord, first of all, to forgive you, and then ask the church to pray for you. Or if you've been out of the church for a long time, you need to come back home. You need to step forward and fulfill the responsibilities of reaching out to the Lord. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.